I am so glad for church. Anybody thankful for church? Let's all stand together for just another moment. Going to go to the scripture today, Genesis 37. When we're done, I'll let you be seated. I'll stay standing, though, the rest of the service. God bless you. Genesis 37 is where we're going to go. Anybody ready for the word today? Glad to be at church. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. If you're a guest, welcome today. If you're new to our church, welcome today. Make yourself at home. And we just want you to come in here and be fed. We care about you a whole lot. And we've got a lot going on, so stay connected. Please be everything you can. Please be at church on Wednesday if you can. I think it's good for us to be at church on Wednesday. We got a lot happening. Next weekend's going to be exciting. And so don't forget about revival coming up by the near. It's going to be good. Genesis 37, here's what I felt today for us. Verse 5. Now Joseph, anybody remember Joseph in the Bible? Don't you love this story? He had a dream. Joseph had a dream. Anybody ever had a dream from the Lord? They're wonderful and they're horrible. You don't know what I'm talking about. You're about to find out. Joseph had a dream. Okay. He told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. I mean, this is supposed to be a good moment, but it turns south really fast, doesn't it? God gave me a beautiful dream and then things got worse. That's how it works sometimes. So he said to them, please hear the dream. This guy was a few fries short of a happy meal. When people hate you, don't rub it in. Please, bro, come on. These guys don't care about your dream. But he just had to say it. See, some people have so much favor, they don't know how to be quiet. They just rub it in. God's been good to me. Everything's fine in my life. Don't understand what you're going through. Just be quiet, okay? I want to be sad, and I want you sad too, all right? So he's like, I got to tell you this dream. And verse 7 says, and we were binding sheep in the field. Then behold, my sheep arose and also stood upright. This is his bundle of wheat here. And indeed, your sheep stood. That's a bundle of wheat. They stood all around and bowed down to mine. That's a good way to get friends. Get a dream from God that says you're better than everybody else and then tell everybody else. That's a great way to win friends and influence people, Joseph. But you know what? It happened. It's true. I'm sorry. I can't help it. It was a real dream. It was from God. And God didn't tell him not to share it. I know some people are like, well, be careful who you tell your dream to. Well, if he hadn't told the dream, he probably never would have seen the dream fulfilled. It was because his brothers were angry that got him in the position to even have the dream fulfilled. So don't get all weird about, like, I'm not going to tell my dream to nobody. Maybe you need to tell your dream to start the process. Even if the process is difficult. And so the brothers said to him, oh, you going to indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? You think you're better than me? So they hated him even more than they already hated him. They hated him before he had a dream. They hated him when he said he had a dream. They hated him even more after he told them the dream. They hated him for his words and his dreams. Verse 19, let me give you some little snippets of what happened after this. Verse 19. Then they said one to another, the brothers, look, this dreamer's coming. Let's come therefore. Let's kill him. That's why he just had a dream. Chill out. It's like, yeah, you all have to bow down if you're dead. So it's like, we're going to kill him. These guys were angry. They had their own personal problems, obviously. Yeah, it's the Cain spirit. You know, when your brother's doing good, you try to kill him. It's the Cain spirit. It's been around. It's okay. It's been around a long time. It's still around today. But they were like, we're going to kill him. Throw him in a pit. Walk away, he'll starve to death. And some we'll just say, some wild beast has devoured him. And we'll see what will become of his dreams. I'm going to try to stop these dreams. Well, you know, they should have killed him because they didn't. And the dream came to pass. But look at verse 27. Then they said, well, change of heart. One of the brothers started thinking, this is probably, we don't want to go to hell. So let's do something different here. Let's just sell him. In fact, why kill him? We can make some money on him. Some people are evil and smart. Some of y'all just evil. You ain't got paid yet. But this one was like, hey, no, let's just sell them, make a slave out of them, make some money on them. Plus, because when you become a slave and go to Egypt or whatever they take you, you never ever get free again. So you'll never see them again. So let's just go ahead and just, let's see what happens. Let's just get rid of them. Let's don't touch them because, you know, we don't want God to be mad at us. So we'll just make a slave out of them. Look at the logic here. It doesn't make any sense. He is our brother. Genesis 29, Let's skip down to verse 20. Then Joseph's master, because remember, he's a slave. They made a slave out of him. He's got a master. He's in Egypt. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now he is a slave in prison. Thanks, God. Cool dream. Thanks for the dream. Verse 14, Genesis 40 and 14. But remember me when it is well with you. He's talking to one of his buddies in the prison now, trying to get out. He said, remember me, because I hooked you up. I want you to hook me up. So just do me a favor. Look, I need to get out of here. Help me out. Don't forget. Please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. Put a good word in for me and get me out of his house. Verse 23 says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That's just like life, isn't it? You help somebody else, they forget about you. Well, later on, he did remember when the time was right. When the time was right. You see, it's not just about telling Pharaoh. It's the time has to be right for Pharaoh. And God knows the timing. You're frustrated, but God knows the timing. You wonder if this dream is still real. God knows the timing. There's a plan. God hasn't forgotten you, even if everybody else has. And so I hope today I can help you. I want to talk to you about there's a mission in every moment. Every moment of your life, every second of the day, there's something major happening. But what we do is we focus so much on the big dream. We don't even understand that if you mess up the moments in between, you'll never see the end of the story come to pass. And I am a mission guy. How about you? I love missions. I love all of that. I get my mind fixed on one thing. Get out of my way. How many of y'all lost a lot of friends over finishing missions? It's not really worth it, is it? No. So I hope this helps you today. My son is sick at home today. Let's pray for him as we go to the Word. Lord, I pray for Aspen right now. Heal him. Miss my wife today. I pray you'll bless them at home. Bless the Word today. Thank you for help. Anyone that's sick in this place today, God, take care of our elders. Take care of those who are sick and needed a touch, healing in their body. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, you can be seated today. There's a mission in every moment. This has been heavy on my heart. God gave this to me years ago when the Lord had to slap me upside across the face and say, bro, you got to stop running over everybody because people really are the mission. And I came to talk to people today that you've received a vision, a prophecy, a promise, or a dream from God. And I want to start by saying I'm thankful for the vision, the dream, the prophecy. Is anybody glad that God gave you something to hold on to in the midnight hour? Are you glad that God gave you a dream years ago? Are you glad that God used the man of God to preach to you and give you a word that's been sticking with you for decades now, but maybe you haven't seen it come to pass? You have a mission. You have something that you believe God wants to do, and it consumes you. It's like always right in front of you. And I believe as the people of God, all of us, we're in prayer and we're in the Word and we hear preaching and we get these ideas in our head that God has a plan for me, and we believe it's God. And boy, I tell you, watch out. When somebody hears from God, they'll run over everybody to get there. I've seen people do the craziest things because, boy, I found out when God talks to people, there's no point in even giving any advice. People come to me and say, Pastor, God told me to leave. And I'm like, God bless you. You better go. What am I going to say? I can't fight God. When God begins to talk to people and give them a mission, it seems like we get tunnel vision. And the problem sometimes with us Christians is we justify running over everybody because of one thing God told us we were going to do or be. We miss every little moment between here and there, and we think it's Christian to get to the end. No, it's Christian to be a Christian throughout the entire process. And if you cannot maintain your holiness and your purity along the pathway from here to there, you will never get there. I don't know if you think this is how God works, but God doesn't be like, this is what I want to do, no matter what. If God told you he wanted you to be the president and you committed suicide, you're not going to be president. I don't care. You're dead. It's over. When God says he has a plan for you, that's His plan for you, you have to adopt it and make it your own. But you also have to have enough common sense, no offense, to realize God's not going to tell you every part of the story. And it's for your own good. I'm so glad God doesn't tell me about all the pain along the way. Imagine if the Lord sent an angel to you at night and said, I have a perilous journey for thee. The end may be good. But I promise thee, I guarantee thee, thou shalt cry many nights. Thou shalt spend all of thy money. You will be lonely many times. And maybe, just maybe, there's a reward. I'm so glad He doesn't do it that way. I'm so glad God says, the end will be worth it. But I have a question. What's in the middle? It doesn't matter what's in the middle. The end will be worth it. But what about the steps today, tomorrow, the next 5 years? Don't worry about that. I got you. The end will be worth it. There will come a day, Joseph, when the sheaves will bow to you. I promise you, if you stay faithful, you have to stay committed to the dream giver to see the dream fulfilled. It will not happen if you backslide. It will not happen if you walk away. It will not happen if you get bitter and angry. You will not see it fulfilled, Joseph, if you don't keep the same faith throughout the road. Oh, I'm seeing so many Christians quit God and be like, why you quit God? Well, because God didn't give me what? You quit. I waited 15 years. Oh, I'm sorry. Did God tell you it would be 14? You know, God don't put times on stuff. God doesn't tell you the details. He doesn't do it that way. You know why God doesn't put times on it? Because it really depends on you. You can get to the promised land in 4 weeks or 40 years. The reason why the Lord don't put a time on it is because He don't know how long it's going to take for you to get ready for it. The reason why the Lord lets you go through hell to get from here to there is to prepare you for the promotion, because you can't handle it until you become pure. There ain't nothing more dangerous than a man that gets to the end with all the power and authority and all the fulfillment of a dream if he's a sorry satanic person. You have got to get purified, and the whole plan, the whole process is about getting you ready to be in charge. It was always God's plan for other sheaves to bow, but you've got to be able to handle it, because when other sheaves begin to bow, you might get the big head and you might think it's all about you. You might think that you're worthy and you deserve it, but the truth is God did it. It's not about me. It's not about my greatness. It's about the goodness of the Lord. I know you get angry because God doesn't tell you the whole story, but it's got to be this way. I can't tell how many times I'll confess. I'll do it if you won't. I have looked at God and said, why is it so hard to fulfill the dream? You're not crazy. It's a battle. It's painful. But I've looked at God and said, God, you gave me a word. You gave me a vision. I shouted. I ran. I was excited. And everything got worse. I promise you, if you'll stay in this thing, you will see your dream come to pass. But from here to there, there will be a journey that is perilous and painful, and it will break everything in you down, and it will prepare you, and it'll make you a great man or woman of God one day. But you've got to endure the process before God ever allows you to take the promotion, because you cannot handle the power of anointing until you've been through the crushing of anointing. Oh, I know so many Christians who are like, God called me this, and God says this, and He says He's this, and you walk around as if it's done. It's done here. It's done here, but it's not actually done yet. Speaking things as if they are doesn't mean they are. It's what holds you until it's done. I thank God today for the dreams. I thank God today. But I'm telling you today that God will leave out all the bad parts of your story, because if you knew how bad it would be, you wouldn't go. Is anybody glad God didn't tell you how tough marriage would be? People tried to tell you, you didn't listen. You're like, but I'm in love. But I'm in love. It doesn't matter. I'm in love. And I'm like, okay, yeah, go ahead and be in love. No, you don't even know what love, you don't even know what love is, bro. You don't know what love is until you've been offended. You don't know what love is until you've been hurt. You see, you don't understand love until you've been through the process. It has to be this way, church family. I'm sorry. You got a word. You got a powerful word. You shouted and ran and danced and celebrated. Wrote it down in your little book, in your little notebook, and said, this is the day God said it. I'm sorry to tell you, but it has to be this way. Because without the process of the painful path, the current you would be destroyed by the success of the future you. You see, when God says, I'm going to give you something big, he puts you on a 30-year journey to handle it. Some of y'all can't hold what God has for you. And that's why you've been working out since the day God gave you that vision and the day God gave you that prophecy. I feel it right now. I feel it. There's somebody right now, you're wondering how God could have spoken it so clearly and you feel like you're a million miles away from the promise. It's because God has to prepare you to hold the glory, the anointing, the weight of what he's about to give you. I promise you, stay in the fight, Joseph. It will come to pass, but you've got to stop fighting against God's plan. There's nothing more dangerous than someone who has achieved power without becoming pure. This is the recipe for satanic activity. When you get too much power and not enough devotion. And this is why God will never give you power without devotion, without longevity. I'll add another word, without a long season of being faithful, without getting anything for it. Well, that's rude. No, it's not. The Lord did it. Try 4,000 years. Some of y'all are like, well, I'm waiting a couple years. I don't know if I can wait for the promise. He waited 4,000 years just to finish and fulfill the cross. We have to learn to be patient. You got to find victory along the way. You got to understand the mission is not just the big one, but the small ones. The mission is not just getting to the dream, but fulfilling every step along the way. I have learned the hardest part of the dream is minute by minute and moment by moment. I want to give up in moments. I'm excited when the dream is renewed in me. I'm excited when I remember what God said. But it's in the moments of darkness I feel like throwing in the towel. And the Lord's been talking to me recently. He said, I want you to take the same tenacity and desire to fulfill the mission, but I want you to put that same passion into every moment of your life. Let me be absolutely clear today, church family. I want to warn you. I want to warn anyone who's ever had a vision or received a promise. It will be wonderful when you get there, but the fight will be minute by minute and moment by moment, and you will not get a day off. And you cannot afford to coast. Dreamers, don't you dare take a minute off. Dreamers, don't you dare let your guard down. Dreamers, don't you dare lust for Potiphar's wife. Don't you dare get angry in your prison. Don't you dare think that any minute you can just take a break from your purity. Dreamers, hear me. If you're going to get to the end, you cannot let one moment go by that you squash and you step on and you turn your back on God. If you're going to get to the end and see the power and the glory of God and all the rewards that come with walking with God, you've got to stay faithful. Hear me today, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said this. He said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, not the big ones. It's the little ones that get us. Little things that embarrass you later when you find out you got so mad about such a small fox. How many ever had so much shame come in whenever you argue with somebody over something stupid? You didn't think it was stupid at the time, but when you look back, you're like, that was the stupidest thing to ever argue over. That was the littlest fox I've ever seen. Exactly. We let our guards down on little foxes. I'm going to tell you where the devil works. In moments. The devil doesn't work in monuments. He works in moments. The devil doesn't work in big things. He works in small things. Who am I talking to today in this place? The devil has had your number on minute-by-minute actions and moment-by-moment lifestyle. He comes to you in moments. Y'all, we've lost everything over moments. Please don't get so distracted, church family, guest, with the big devil on the roof when you miss the little one in your pocket. Some of y'all are like, I just felt the Spirit come in the house. And I'm like, won't you just pray today when you get up? How about that? Well, I want to get a ministry and I want to, you got this, you're like, the devil's coming. Stop all that. You're losing everyday moments. You're losing minute-by-minute battles. Stop trying to win hours and weeks and years when you can't even get your mind right for 60 seconds. If you would learn to live 60 seconds at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time, I'm going to be victorious right here, right now. You have an opportunity, church family, in this hour, while I am preaching, to make the most of this sermon. Don't let this moment pass you by. Every moment matters. Jesus added something else on this topic that gives us a different direction, but the same theme in Matthew 6 and 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, don't worry about them. They're going to be added unto you. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Y'all, we can be so worried about stuff that may never happen. Come on, your toast is burning. And you're worried about your future? Your bed ain't made yet. I'm gonna tell you what makes you feel confident that your future is gonna be bright. When you get up and do what you have to do right before you every day. When you do the thing in front of you every day. When you stop bypassing the here and now, living in a dream world. Oh, well, one day I'll marry him. You came and take care of your right now. But I have a dream. God told me, he gave me this handsome prince and I saw it in my mind. And I'm like, you don't even take care of now. I'm going to tell you why God gave you that dream of that handsome prince, so you learn how to be a submissive woman now. The handsome prince is there to coax you in to be a submissive woman now. One day God's going to give it to me no matter how I act. No. The Lord's hoping you'll hear the dream and get the vision and prepare yourself for it. Now. Minute by minute, moment by moment, help us, Holy Ghost, help us today. We can be so worried about our temporary food problems tomorrow, we miss our eternal moments today. We worry about stuff like, well, you know, I got to work next week. Why are you living in next week? You showed up late to work today. I'm so worried about if I have my job in a year from now. Well, you ought to be. You were on your phone during work. Don't ever get caught doing that. You want to get promoted at your job? There was a guy one time picking up buggies in the parking lot. I got so righteously angry because instead of picking up buggies, they were everywhere, hitting my car, rolling around the parking lot. Instead of, he was on his phone, and he knew nobody would see him out there in the back of the parking lot. He thought nobody saw him. I saw him. I got you, bro. I called his manager. I said, you know, it'd be really nice so these carts get picked up. You tell your employees to get off their phone. Ricky back here in the back with the orange vest on is walking around on his phone. Call him out. Get him. Now, here's what I said for real. I said, look, I don't want him to lose his job. He's a young man. I'm not calling for that. I'd be very upset if he lost his job over this. But I do think you need to look him in his eye and tell him, if you're ever going to do anything in life, tell him to get off his phone. That's what I told the manager. Well, people feel so righteous living in the future. Like, oh, I got big dreams, big plans. I'm going to do this one day. I'm like, take care of right now. One of these days, I'm going to be a missionary to Africa. You don't even pray in the altar after church. I just love God so much. You weren't at the last work day. Just love God so much. I mean, the one we announced, right? Got to announce it for them to know about it, right? It's got to be publicized. Because there's some private ones. But people get so caught up and they feel so righteous, like, you know, one of these days, baby. You know, you say your wife one of these days, so we're going to make it. It's going to be big. She's like, hey, Slick, why don't we just back off of what you're going to do one day. Treat me good today. Look, if you don't have moments victory, you have no dream victory. Your dream is held hostage by every second you choose to delay righteousness. I'm going to tell you why it's taken a lot longer for you to fulfill some dreams that God has for you. Because you thought that when God gave it to you, you would not have to put any skin in the game. But I'm going to tell you, to fulfill your dream, it will cost you all your skin. And there might be an ounce of you left that needs to die. But God will not give you that ending of your story until you have totally devoted yourself minute by minute, moment by moment. There's no pause button with this priority, this kingdom priority. There's nothing so small that I can let my guard down. We need to remember that there is a mission in every moment. Then we need to remember that every discussion matters. There's no small moment. Boy, the enemy has gotten us, hasn't he? We have become a culture that trashes everybody on the way to the top. And it's everybody else's fault if we don't make it. We are horrible in moments, but we expect monumental reward. And that's such a tragedy. Every discussion, there's no small discussion with anybody ever. Well, I can say what I want around you because you don't pay me. You're not my family. I can trash you. Go ahead, trash the butler in the prison. See what happens. You'll never get out. See, some of y'all went into prison and you said, finally, I get to be who I really want to be. I get to act like the people I hang out with, finally. You'll never get out with that attitude. If you're ever going to get out of your prison into your promise, you've got to stop being like the prisoners around you and live righteously. Regardless of everybody else and what they do in Egypt, you say, I'm not falling for it. I'm not giving in to it. Every discussion matters. I don't care if it's 60 seconds. There's value. Every meeting you attend, it matters. There's no salt small talk between you and somebody else. There's no, I can let my hair down and say what I want to say and be sinful for a minute. It's just a minute after all. Well, it's just a small decision. No such thing. No, it's no such thing. We've got to understand that there's a mission in everything happening. The Bible says that be angry and sin not. Listen to me. Anger doesn't give you a free pass to be satanic. You can be angry and still not sin. The Bible wouldn't say it if you couldn't do it. You can be righteously correct about what's wrong in this world. You can have legitimate anger and still not become a sinner. Let me tell someone right now with anger issues, it is possible for you to stay holy, pure, and righteous and be upset. Jesus was upset many times, but he didn't sin. We need a holy mission in every angry moment. Well, this is what we do. We say, just pardon me for a minute. Sorry, I lost my cool. You think it's okay to sin when people do you wrong. You think it's justified when you had a bad day. You think that it's all right, it's just my attitude, or, you know, I'm going through a lot right now. I can let my guard down in just this moment. But victories are lost moment by moment, by moment, by moment. And the reason why we're suffering and losing is because we put our guard down on what we deem small. The problem with this small, low guard is there's so many of them. One Skittle won't give you diabetes. It's the addiction to it that destroys you. This is why the enemy works in small things, because he knows that in your mind you can justify one. But the problem is you never stop with the ones. And the ones become many. Before you know it, it becomes your habit. It becomes your lifestyle. And here's how you stay confused. You think your dream makes you righteous. But God spoke to me. He did. Why did he speak to you? So that you can have a free pass to sin? He spoke to you so you could let your guard down the rest of your life and you could treat people how you want. But you know, you don't understand, Pastor, God met me. God met you because you were a loser and he was trying to make something out of you. You're nothing without God. God didn't meet you because you're great. He met you because you're not. When the Lord shows up, it's because he knows you need help. God talked to me back in 1995. Yeah, I know. How's he been going since then? You've been losing moment by moment ever since God talked to you. You think because God visited with you, it gives you the right to treat people how you want. And that's why you're not seeing your dream fulfilled. I feel a depth in this place right now that there are people in this room that you're mad and frustrated at God and mad and frustrated because you're not seeing things come to pass. And you read the Bible and you hear the preaching and everybody sounds so good on Instagram and all the preachers are like, you're going to get yours. You're going to get yours. But listen to me today. Here's the truth. You will never get yours until you make a mission out of every moment. I'm telling you, it's going to change some lives today. You're going to walk in from a hard day work, and you're going to tell yourself, this moment matters. Hello, I love you. You see, you've been doing it all wrong. You thought you were justified because you make the money, because you do this and do that. I get to be evil because of all the good I do. Let me do a little evil. The Lord doesn't do evil because he's been good. You don't have a quota of how much good you do and how much evil you get to do every day. Well, I did a lot of good. I'll go sin some, you know, balance it out a little bit. Lord, help us. There are some frustrated people today, and the Lord sent me here to help you today. Jesus said, offenses will come. You can't stop it. You'll never stop it. But I refuse to let this moment be surrendered to the devil's agenda because he is looking for opportunities. Paul said, I die daily. I just imagine every day he wakes up, he's like, hello, flesh. Good to see you. Psych! Shut up, sit down, and do what I tell you today. Because in this body, the Holy Ghost is in charge. And I'm telling you again, like I told you yesterday, shut up, stay quiet. You're not in control of me. Paul said, I wake up, I die again. I wake up, I die again. I wake up, I die again. He said, I got to do it daily. All right, let me teach you about this. Talking in tongues doesn't mean your flesh is gone. It's still there. The Holy Ghost gives you the power and the knowledge and the wisdom to know you better get your flesh under control. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth, and that Holy Ghost that made you talk in tongues is begging you to stop giving into your flesh all the time. But it doesn't keep you from doing stuff. I think people think when they get the Holy Ghost, they can't be mad. It's like, it just doesn't come out. It doesn't work. Yes, it does. Trust me. Yes, it does. There are people that have talked in tongues on Sunday and beat their wives on Monday. I think some people just get spiritual enough just so they can beat their wives and not feel so bad for it. Help us, Lord. I want to help a man right now. Your wife doesn't care about your 10-year plan as much as she cares about your 10-hour plan. All good? We good? Yeah. Baby, I promise you, one of these days we're going to build that house. Baby, I promise you, one of these days I'm going to be the man you've always dreamed of. One of these days. Okay, you've been married 30 years, bro. Y'all about to die. When is this going to start? Be careful, sir, promising the future when she just wants your present. Hey, I've been there. I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm the guy that's like, the Lord called me to preach, sweetheart. Back up. I'm the guy that I said, there's a mission. God called me to this. God said, do it. Get out of my way. And there's There's some mission people in this room right now that you live tomorrow, but you can't live right now. And I'm telling you, if you're ever going to get to tomorrow, you've got to own the moment that you're in right now. You've got to learn to say, I'm sorry, in the second, in the moment, in this hour. You're always talking big about what you're going to do and what you're going to be. Baby, don't leave me. Baby, I promise you, stop talking and just do what's right, right now. Let's lift our hands right now. I need the Lord to help us right now. There's some mission people in this place, and you mean well. And I know God's talked to you, and I know God has a plan for you, but you're missing out on your moment. You're missing out on it because you're in such a hurry. You're so impatient. You're running over everybody. You're missing everything around you right now because you think those moments don't matter, but they do. Everybody say in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Here's some advice to the person today who thinks there's a time limit on success in God's kingdom. I got good news for you. The Lord's not in a hurry. Neither should you be. I got a great story for you, okay? Jesus has this guy named Jairus. My daughter's dead. Hurry, help us. This is very serious. Very serious. Like, I could be that dad. If you have a kid, you understand. It's like panic. It's like you got to come now. There's still hope. She's freshly dead. Maybe you can do something. Maybe she's just barely, you know, you're thinking. Maybe she could be resuscitated. And so Jesus said, let's go. I'll go. And he's on his way. There's a big crowd. It's not easy. There's a big crowd. And of course, there was this woman who didn't have a life or death problem. She had just been through a tough deal for years with an issue of blood. And she decided to come mess everything up. And if I'm Jairus watching Jesus say, oh, hold on. Who touched me? Are we just going to wait until someone volunteers? My daughter's dead. How about Jesus, you're a prophet. You just tell us who it was. Well, hurry. What is this game you're playing? What are you doing? This moment is not for her. This moment is for me. I've been there. I've been in the need. I've been needing God to do something for me, and God did something for somebody else. And I thought, God, you're wasting your time. You can come back to her anytime you need to. But Lord, why did you stop? But he did. He stopped. And he took all this time to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to heal you and daughter and no, you know, everything's fine. And then it's like, okay, now I'm free. And I can just imagine Jerry's been like, come on. We only have a little bit of time left. What happens? But here they found out something about Jesus that they really didn't know a lot about. And that is the reason Jesus wasn't in a hurry is because he can raise dead things back to life. It's not over. It's not over, brothers and sisters. It may seem like God has forgotten you. It may seem like God has gotten preoccupied. It may seem like the Lord has waited way too long. But listen to me. He's not scared. He's not afraid. He's not in a hurry because he knows she's just sleeping. I wonder today who's called it dead and the Lord has called it sleeping. Calm down. My ministry. I got to hurry. I got to build my ministry. I got to hurry. I got to do this. I got to have all that. Calm down. The Lord will get there when the time's right. And even if it all fell apart, he can bring it all back. Oh, I have to help God. I'll help him. I know you're probably just busy. Lord, I know you probably have a lot on your mind. I'll encourage you. I'll help you. He heard you the first time you prayed 20 years ago. The dream is the same. The moments matter. Until you learn to take care of your moments, why do you ever deserve to sit in the seat of authority and power? I'm going to tell you what a ruler can do when he gets the crown on his head. He can destroy somebody.
I'm going to tell you why God doesn't want to promote you and give you money and jobs and all that good stuff and power and authority. Because as soon as you get it, if you don't control your moments in one moment of anger, you'll swipe your finger and people's lives will be changed forever. God was preparing Joseph to be able to save others. And he would have to have the ability in moments of stress and anger, under the pressure and the weight of authority, to not let his anger get the best of him. When somebody comes in and says, there's a famine, I need food or we die, he had to be able to keep his composure. And the reason why the Lord is not letting you have promotions and power is because that power is deadly in the wrong. There are people here today, you want God to bless you and you want God to anoint you and you have a dream and it's real. But the reason why it's so slow is not because God is slack concerning his promises, but because we can't handle it. You're going to keep walking in circles, Israel, until you learn. Control your fear. Control your fear. Control your unbelief. Control your attitude. Don't get so scared when you see a giant and you turn and run. You've got to learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as long as you don't get it, you're going to walk in circles. And you might be 60 before you figure it out. But you could be 30. Could have been 30. You could have been 25. Please don't laugh when I'm crying. You could have been 16. Edward, you hear me? Now is the time, brother. Now is the moment. Now is not the time to play on your phone. Now is not the time to play games. Now is not the time for video games all night. Now is the moment to hear and answer the call of God. You're going to lose because you keep brushing off moments until one day you're 40 years old.
It's okay. You can pray. I'm going to try to finish this before we all come down, all right? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hear me today, you're going to see your dream fulfilled, but it'll be because you were victorious minute by minute. You were victorious one smile at a time. You think you can take a day off. It's one prayer on top of another prayer. It's one I'm sorry after another. But I've said it a whole lot. You're not saying it anymore. Said it for years. Say it again. When will this be over? When it's over. Amen. But until it's over, get right. It's one, I'll work on that, I'm sorry. After another, and you're tired of saying it, and it feels like you don't know what you're doing, and it feels like you're just a big loser, but the truth is you're winning. You're winning because you're winning your minutes, and you're winning your moments, and if you ever learn to conquer your minutes and conquer your moments, you will get to the dream. It's one fast after another. Well, I fasted, nothing happened. You mean you didn't get the dream after you fasted? Here's what we do. We pray, and we look up and go, still not in charge. Here we go again. Because you're praying to speed time up, and you're fasting to speed time up. You should be fasting, Sister Corey, to change yourself. You should be praying to change yourself. You should be studying to change yourself. You should be doing everything for me because I can't get to the end until the process is done. So I'm not going to try to speed up Pharaoh. I'm not trying to speed up the harvest or the famine. I'm trying to speed up preparation. This is not about anybody other than you getting ready for what God has for you.
Tell you, it's one church service after another, and they matter. I can miss this one. No big deal. It matters. Unless you're sick or on vacation, it matters. And the devil wants to tell some of you it's just one until it's two, until it's three. Here's a problem. We don't keep count. We always count back at one. The devil doesn't keep counting the times you miss. He wants you to forget. That's why every time you miss and say, I'm sorry, you think the clock starts over. It might with God because of forgiveness, but it doesn't in reality. The truth is you've missed 30 times and it's slowing down your process. This is much more than me being right with God. It's about me getting to the dream. Yeah, God will forgive you. There's a lot of people that have been forgiven and never saw the dream come to pass. I have met some Christians that have lived their whole life saying, I'm sorry for that bad moment. You know what? You've missed your dream. Your dream has been downgraded. I'm not saying God can't use you, but it's not what it would have been. Because you thought the key to your walk with God was, I'm sorry. But the key is learning how to not have to say I'm sorry every minute of the day. Are we good? Y'all good? I'm going to try to come to my close. I want to make sure this is sinking in the day. Because I could see it and I could feel it. There are people in this place. There's people all over the world. We're running over each other and we're justifying it. And the enemy wanted to twist our minds, but God sent me a word of truth today to clear up our heads. It's hurting marriages and parenting. It's hurting your jobs. It's hurting all your life because we think I'm a chosen child of God. God has a purpose. God loves me. All that's true. You're sabotaging it, though. And you're sabotaging it not because you're saying you don't want to go, but you don't want to live it in the minute and in the moment. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You might think I'm crazy as a pastor for getting mad and overreacting. You may think I'm weird, but you know what? The Lord showed me recently. The Lord showed me. You know the reason why you get so passionate about small things is because you respect them. And so I'm not going to apologize today if you think that I am too strong on silly subjects, because it is the silly subjects we must be stronger in. I don't have to preach on some stuff because it's obviously wrong. And I believe that I've heard it when you thought it. That's a little overboard, isn't it, Pastor? That's exactly what Satan would say. Did God really say it like that? Does it really matter? You're making a big deal of all this. It's going to be a big deal. Because in a moment, if I eat that fruit, my destiny changes forever. So you might get mad at me, but David messed up in a moment of lust. Samson messed up in a moment of lust. Moses messed up in a moment of anger. 1 Peter 5:8, look at this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan is an opportunist. He knows that he is powerless when he's exposed. So he patiently waits, listen, for a weak moment, a moment when they didn't do the dishes the way you said. You forgot my birthday. But I'm still married to you. Y'all, we take the smallest stuff. We make mountains out of molehills. And we would rather not talk for 3 days. We miss moments. And moments become monumental when we ignore them. The enemy lingers like a roaring. You know how the lion in the Africa does it? His hair mimics the grass. And he sneaks in and gets close. You know what he does? He watches on the edge and he waits for you to get offended. And as soon as he can sense some weakness in you, he pounces. In a moment, he was there the whole time. But the reason why he attacks sometimes and sometimes he doesn't is because sometimes your guard is down and sometimes it's not. The enemy doesn't come face on saying, I'm the devil. I came to destroy you. The enemy comes at you on the edge in your peripheral. And he says, let's wait till they're mad at each other. That's always where I get them. Let's wait till there's a money problem. Let's wait till someone at church takes their seat. Let's wait till there's a fence. That's where the enemy works. He's an opportunist. Colossians 4:2 gives us an answer to this. Look what Paul said to the church at Colossae. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, which means to be watchful, in it with thanksgiving. Here's the key. You ready for the key? And then I'm going to close. Prayer. Paul connected vigilance with prayer and thankfulness. Here's why. Prayer is our submission to God. Thankfulness is our protection from offense and anger. It is impossible to be offended all the time and angry when you're thankful. Here's what the devil does. The devil says that one moment will ruin you, and he wants to make you forget all the moments that blessed you. The enemy wants you to live in the moment, but then he wants to steal your moment. He wants to bring you down moment by moment. And what he does is he focuses on the one thing that's wrong and he ignores all the things that are right. And how many times you've been in a conversation where someone made a big deal out of one thing even though you've been good to them in 10 things? That's the work of the enemy. He's trying to steal your moment. So here's how you protect yourself from getting that spirit and you stay vigilant. You have to be in prayer, talking to your vertical, but you have to be thankful and start talking about all the good things that the Lord is doing in your life. Because thankfulness protects you. Praise protects you. Thanking God protects you. Gratitude protects you from getting that spirit that gets on you. And the enemy comes around when there's unthankfulness. It's the truth. Start becoming unthankful for something and the enemy smells it. My closing today, 1 Thessalonians, is a unique letter to the church. Let me try to help you understand it quickly. It's unique because in 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote a letter to a church that was actually doing really well. Usually he's criticizing them. Usually he's like, you need to stop all this. The only thing, here's what he pretty much was saying in 1 Thessalonians. He was saying, you guys really love each other a whole lot. I'm proud of y'all. Keep up the good work. The only thing you might want to work on is you have a little bit of lust problem. And I thought that actually goes hand in hand with loving each other a lot. Because when you get really close, you have to be even more guarded with your marriages. So just a quick advice, sisters and brothers, the closer we get in the spirit, the more guarded we have to be with each other physically. Because this church loved each other, and they were very tight, very unified. The only weakness he mentioned was a little bit of sexual weakness. And I think that goes with the territory of, if you don't like people, then you probably don't want to be around them. So he said, be careful, because you guys are so close, you've got to have some walls and some guards. Other than that, your church is doing great. So what's the point of the letter? Just to brag? No, there's a message at the end. But the first thing he does is he begins to say, hey, there's love among you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should even write to you. So then why are you writing to us? What's the point of the letter? Sounds almost like they were so unified. They loved each other. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. You guys are doing great. Four chapters. Good job. Good job, Jaden. Good job, Angel. Oh, you guys are awesome. You're so blessed. You're so good. Okay, to my main point. The Lord is coming back suddenly in a moment. Doing great. My only fear is that you're doing so good you might think you're doing good. And what happens when a people think they're doing good? They start to let their guard down. Start getting comfortable at church. Slip in, slip out. Love God. No big issues. Everything's fine. Friends, relationship, got money. Everything's good. All is well. God is good. And this is why Paul decided to give the only word he could preach to a church that had it going on. And he said, verse 6, chapter 5 and 6, therefore, let us not sleep. 5 and 6. There it is. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. That's vigilance. Let us be sober. You can get drunk on good times. High church party, praise, good, everything's good, to where you start to get a little sleepy.
Every time we go to Garcia's Mexican Food in Bastrop, Texas, after all those carbs, we get in the truck and Aspen says, "Woo! I'm ready for a nap now." When things are good, you let your guard down. It's when your marriage is good, watch out. It's when money's coming in, watch out. It's when you've got friends, watch out. I have nothing to worry about. Yeah, you do. Because we have an adversary still during good times, and we have a thief on the way. And he's going to show up in the twinkling of an eye, and no one's going to ever know when it happens. Here's the warning. Don't think that because overall you're holy, that your moments are righteous. Because he's coming back in a moment. God, I want to be holy in every moment. I want to be right, Brother Craig, in every minute. I hope to God that my wife doesn't make me mad on the day. Because I'll be like, "I'm so angry you did this to me." And the Lord's like, "I warned you." Why would he warn us? Because you're not really real until you're real all the time. I don't know how many times you're going to have to get offended before you realize this. I don't know how long before you finally get it. I got to fix my moments, y'all. There are no excuses for my attitude, your emotional breakdown, your anger fits, and your wrath, and they did this to me, and I deserve to get them back. Y'all, that's where we lose. No one's around. I can do this on my phone now. That's where you lose. He's coming back like a thief in the night, and he's going to come back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and you won't be prepared for it, and you won't know, and that's why you got to stop saying, "There's a dream way out there," and start saying, "There's a dream for this moment." My question, church family, what's your mission in this moment? The other night I had a phone call. Family in the church was having some discussion and a little bit emotional, and they wanted some advice and put me on speakerphone. I was able to talk and help them. And I bragged on them and I said, "Hey, this happens to all of us. You're not a loser. You just got to get this moment right. Before you hang up, before you leave today, make it right. There's going to be more moments tomorrow. There's going to be more the next day and next week. You'll never stop them. The key here is not to get to a place where you have no more offense. Get to the place where it no longer affects you. You're going to keep getting hit, y'all, until you pass the test." So today in this place, I didn't come to you and tell you, "Let's be super spiritual. Let's go tear the gates of hell down." All I'm saying to you is, won't you learn to be nice to people? Start with small things. This has helped me a lot, because the other day, I had a bad day. And I felt it coming up on me. You ever feel it coming up on you? You're just like, oh. It feels like it's turning you into some monster. It just gets, you're like, "I wish you would say something to me. I'm in the mood today. I'm ready to go to jail today." You know what I did? In my mind, this is what I told myself. I said, "Stop it. Master, this moment. This moment matters. This moment matters. I feel it. It's real. It ain't right. I don't like it. But this moment matters. This moment matters." And I began to make this moment huge. And I was victorious. And I had a whole lot less collateral damage. Anybody tired of picking up the pieces of your own bad choices all the time? Years and years of bad small foxes ruining vines, and you can't grow a vineyard. Because you're looking for the lion instead of the fox. And this is what's destroying us. This is what's getting you. You know, back when I was a kid, the pastor would get on to me about small things, Edward, and they would be like, "You know, that movie you're watching," and I'd be like, "It's such a little fox." As old man doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Now I'm that guy that apparently is not cool. But I don't care about being cool. I care about your success. I care about your victory. And I'm telling you, we will sweat the small stuff at this church. Because big stuff is obvious. Yeah, don't cheat on your wife. That's not, we know that. You know, we know that. I don't have to preach that. Here's what I got to preach. Stop lusting at your workplace. That's a small thing, Pastor. Yeah, it's that small stuff that adds up and steals you of your victory. Anybody else ready to pray with these ladies that are coming up here? Let's come pray. Let's come to the altar. Come on down here. Let's get the youth down here. Come on, guys. Let's pray. Let's come on. Today we're conquering moments, guys. Today's not about something big. It's about something small, okay? Today God wants you to give him moments because you've given him the dream. You've committed to the big monumental things, but God is asking for you to be victorious minute by minute. I'm talking about when the attack comes out of nowhere, you're going to be ready. I'm talking about you're going to have a nature of holiness inside of you that whenever temptation arises, it's going to be natural for you to say, I got this. No problem. I'm winning moments. Is anybody wants to be real with me and come up here and confess I've struggled during moments? Anybody want to come up here and admit it today that I've been good for 3 weeks and I had a tough moment? I'm tired of moments killing me. I'm tired of moments stopping my marriage. I'm tired of moments hurting my life. I need to conquer the moments. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just repent. Let's give it to God. Come on, this is a key. We break the yoke of the enemy right now. Come on, moments get us. Not the big vision, not the big dream. That's real. That's good. But be careful, church family. We've got to master the moments. There's some hotheads in this room right now. There's some passionate people right now in this room. You're fired up all the time. But you've got to give and surrender God the emotion and the drama and the anger. You've got to tell the Lord, I am not just someone with a dream. I'm somebody holy in every minute of the day. Give us this day our daily bread. Come on, I'm praying for help today. I'm seeking God for help today. Oh God, I'm seeking your will right now. Let's open up our voices to the Lord and tell God, let's weep before God and say, he's preaching to me. He's preaching to me. I'm the hothead. I'm the mission man. I'm the mission woman. I run over my family, my sister, my brother. I'm always in a hurry to finish what God said, but that's not the mission. People are the mission. Loving my brothers and sisters are the mission. Loving my family is the mission. Don't have such a big dream way out there. Come on, I want us to weep before the Lord today and get it broken in our spirit. Some of us grown men need a break in our spirit today. I'm in such a hurry. I'm not an impatient man. I'm always scared and fearful if it won't get done right and right now. But I am missing moments. Come on, your kids need you there in the moments. Your kids need you there in the moments. Your kids need you there in the minute by minute. I've got to conquer the minutes. I've got to conquer the little moments. That's it. Let's give it to the Lord today. Lord, Lord, take over right now. Take over. Take over my moments. Come on, you're called. You've got purpose and promise on your life, but you've let the enemy for far too long come and steal your future. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You've lost a lot. It's time to turn it around. Come on, overall, you're doing great, but don't fall asleep.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Wake up. Every minute matters. Stay vigilant. Stay sober. Watch and pray. The Lord is coming back for a church who's ready in a moment. Come on, I don't need just promise. I don't need just promise on me in dreams. I need to conquer the seconds that go by. I'm telling you, this prayer matters right now, church. Don't let this prayer meeting go by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Please. please take moments seriously. Please take these seconds seriously. Make the most of them, church. Oh God, I want to be real. I want to get right. Thank you for the word today, shaking me and stirring me. If that's you I'm preaching to, then weep before the Lord today. Go ahead and dig it out today. If you lose control way too much, those little things are destroying your future. We don't need more talkers in the church. We need more action. More legitimate Christianity. I promise everything to everybody, but I can't just be faithful in the small things. The word says if you're faithful in the small things, God will make you ruler over great things.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
It's happening. Today's the day. Make your mind up. Today's the day. I'm going to get this. Today's the day. I'm going to win moments. I'm going to win moments. I'm going to be victorious in minute by minute. I'm doing this. Hallelujah. Get your faith right today. Yes, that's the word for me and my family. I've been winning in moments. I'm not letting minute pass me by. I'm not letting moments pass me by.
I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Come on, God wants to use your brothers and sisters. God doesn't want to take away your power and authority. He wants to shape you at home. The devil's telling you, forget this moment, go to lunch. The devil's telling you, this doesn't matter, it's just another prayer meeting. But this moment does matter. This moment does matter. This moment is huge. What you pray right now matters. What you say matters. What you do, it carries for eternity. I'm going to master these minutes. The Lord's coming back as a thief in the night. And when he comes back, he's going to catch me. Righteous. You're going to get there, Joseph. You're going to get there, but you got to keep winning these moments until you do. There's a process God is working out in you to prepare you. Stay patient. Stay calm. God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. Let it work. Let the process work, brothers. Come on, let it dig out. Don't fight God. Don't even try to fight God. Let it dig. Let it dig. Let it dig. You can't win against God's plan. You can't ever fight God's plan. All you can do is surrender to it. All you can do is give in to it.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Woo!
I live for you.
This moment matters. The Lord's washing some stuff out of us. The Lord's washing some stuff out of us right now. I believe there's truth and clarity coming to us right now in this room. I'm exposing the works of the enemy right now. I'm exposing the lie and the tricks of Satan. Come on, God. God's got your general. He's got your overview. He's got your plan. But you've got to give God your moments. Said, follow me everywhere I go, every second of the day. Just follow me. Come on, let me lead you every day, every minute, every day. Follow the Holy Ghost every minute, every day. Follow the cloud, follow the fire every minute, every day. You won't know the whole story. Just trust me. Just walk with me. Come on, God's purifying some things out of the strong in our church. There's some mighty women and men in this place right now that you have a calling on you. You have a calling on you. You just got to master moments.
I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you.
Praise God. Today's a great day to get baptized in Jesus' name. If you want to get baptized in Jesus' name, today's a great day to get baptized. Today's a great day to receive the Spirit of God for the first time. This surrender that you're doing right now, this repentance, I'm telling you, the Lord will fill you with His Spirit. You open up to God, He'll fill you with His Spirit. You'll begin to speak in a language you don't know. It's a miracle. It's a sign and evidence that God has control of your language. It's a sign and control that God has control of you. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now as you're worshiping. Why don't you find somebody today and just pray with them real quick. We don't have to take long today. I want us to be very present in the moment right now. The Bible says the Lord is a very present help in time of need. He's not a tomorrow help. He's not just a yesterday help. He's a very present help. Would you be someone's present help right now? Someone's present help right now. I want to be present. I want to be available. I want to take advantage of this moment right here, right now. That's it. Lift your voice up. It matters if you talk in tongues right now. It matters if you have faith right now. It matters if you declare the name of Jesus right now. It matters right now what you do. Every tear you cry, it matters. Everything you say, it matters. Speak it. Declare it. Make your mind up right now. I'm not letting this service pass me by today. I'm not letting Sunday go without everything I can give. That's it. Bless these young men. I see the young men praying. I see the young ladies praying. Come on, don't waste your youth. Don't waste these days of your life. Don't waste your youth. I'm talking to young couples and young people right now. Do not waste your youth. Don't tell yourself you've got time. Not if you want to fulfill the dreams. Oh God, learn from the older people at church. Don't delay the moments. One day you'll wake up, you'll be 50 years old, and you'll wish you'd have heard the preacher. Come on, now is the day to find yourself. Now is the hour to get your career figured out. Now is the hour to get your calling figured out. Now is the hour to master pornography and lust, marriage issues. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start right now. God, this here matters. This matters. Every moment matters. Every
here
moment matters.
I am to say that you're my God.
Yeah, every moment
you're
matters.
All together, love me.
Oh, you're all together,
worthy.
All together,
wonderful to me.
You're
here. I am to worship.
And here I am.
Thank you.
Have one thing I want to do. I want anybody who would classify yourself. You can talk when we're done. We're not done with church yet. So hold on. Thank you. If someone's talking to you, just say, hold on. Just respectfully tell them, hold on. I want anybody that you would classify yourself as a visionary. You have big dreams, big callings. You're a hothead. You've been known to run people over, step on people. I want you to come fill the front right now. We're going to pray for deliverance today. If that's you, come on. There's at least 25% of us. Probably it's a personality thing. But if you feel like you're somebody that has been known to just be hot or temper or, you know, get a little wild, come up, expose yourself today. Because God's going to set us free today. Amen. Come on up here. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. We're going to be free. I know there's going to be some discussions on the way home. Some marriage is going to be like, why didn't you go up to the front? But we're going to be free today. God's going to set us free. Brand new revelation, brand new truth today. Amen. Are you ready for it? How many are tired of losing control? How many tired of those little things? The devil's got your number. And you know the thing. You're going to get free. But the Dante told me something incredible earlier. He said, from now on, I'm going to stop praying for a season. God, I want the big thing, the career, the big thing. I'm going to focus my prayer on, God, I want the small thing. And I felt it. That's the prayer to pray. We're going to shift for a season. Until you conquer the small things, stop thinking about big things. The enemy's got you trapped. You feel righteous because in your head, you're good. In your head, you know where you're going. But that's not what we need right now. We got to start conquering the moments as they come up. So here's the thing. God's already spoken your dream over you. It's going to happen if you don't sabotage it. So that's done. You don't have to keep praying about what God promised. Am I right? Stop. You know what we're doing? We're saying, God, when is it going to happen? And God's like, when you're ready. So now your new prayer is no longer a prayer about your promise. It's a prayer about the in-between. That is, God, you already said I could have it. Help me conquer the reasons why I don't. Man, are you ready? Some of you, you've been needing to hear this, and it's going to take a few weeks. You're going to get it. Others, you're just getting started. It may take you a few years. Be patient. But this has got to be conquered. And I'm telling you, this is the only thing standing between you and the great reward, the great promise. But we're going to be victorious, brothers. Ministers, we're going to be victorious. You're not going to get triggered so easily. Now, you will be tested. I am not praying for God to take away your test. It's not going to happen. Can't pray it. Jesus said, offense will come. It will always be there. So you're not praying for someone else. You're not praying, God change them. You're praying, God, change me. In fact, I'm so sick. I'm so tired of being this way. I want this more than anything else. When David messed up in a moment, later he prayed and repented. And he didn't ask God for his kingdom. He didn't ask God, please make sure I keep my crown and my money. He said, don't take your spirit. Because you know what messed up? Really, what messed up with David? The reason why he had a momentary problem, because he wasn't walking in the Spirit every day, every second. That's the battle. And so today we're shifting all of our dreams away from my home and my family, and I want kids and stop. I want to be a Christian. Now, get ready for the blessings to flow. Get ready for the windows of heaven to open up. Get ready for the favor of God. Get ready for every other thing shall be added unto you. Man, I see so much promise in all. Man,
I see promise in you. And I know this word is from heaven today. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at people that you're about to get it. But you've got to say, God, I'm done reaching for something out there. I'm going to reach for something right at my feet today. This domain right here, this circle right here, I own this circle. My actions, my attitudes, my responses, I'm going to own it. And this is my new prayer. And if I don't get this, God, I don't deserve anything else. And it's the truth. Are you ready to be free? This mentality is going to set you free. The Bible says that truth makes us free. Not a good feeling, not emotion. I've preached truth today. And this truth, if you'll adopt it, if you'll download it, if you'll make this your prayer, your mission, you will be successful. You will overcome. If you're not up here, pray for those of us that are up here. Lift your hands across this front. Come on, this is a mentality shift. You got to put your pride down. You got to change your vision, your dream, all the big stuff. God's already spoken it over you. You haven't had it yet because you're not ready. So here's your new plan. Here's your new plan. God, break me. God, help me in my daily. Help me in my moment. Help me in my minute. From now on, God, my new prayer is, Lord, check my mouth. Check my mind, check my attitude, check my spirit, check my response, check my judgmental spirit, check everything. Come on, lift your hands up and cry out to heaven. God, I know what I have to do now. God, I know why I haven't reached the promised land. God, it's because these things are dug out of me, and I am serious. I am sober. I am vigilant. I am prayerful, and I am thankful today. Thank you, Jesus. I seek your face in every minute of the day, every trigger, every problem. Everything that comes against me, I will have dominance on the daily. I will have victory at every moment. I will not fail anymore at the little things that creep into my life. I refuse to run over people to get the agenda done. I refuse to hurt somebody to do your will. God, it's never your will to hurt people. It's never your will. I'll be free in the name of Jesus. I declare over you right now, because I understand this spirit. I take authority over this spirit right now, and I declare victory and freedom. I declare a new mentality in you. I put inside of you right now a brand new desire. I put inside of you right now a brand new desire, a brand new mission, a brand new attitude. I am going to be victorious every second of my day. Come on, let's thank God for it right now. It's happening. Let's thank God. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Woo! I feel victory in this house. 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 All right. Let's practice before we go. I want you to do what you feel like doing now. Oh, don't think about it. Just do it. Just do it now. Whatever you feel in the Holy Ghost, just now. You want to shout or dance? Just do what you feel now. Learn. Learn to flow. Learn to flow. Learn to flow. Learn to give in. Learn to do what you feel now. Practicing. Start practicing. I remember on honeymoon, we got married. We were so happy. It's my job to make sure we have a good time. Honeymoon's your responsibility. Okay. We get in the car and we start traveling, and I have a list of things I want to do. And my wife's like, and I'm like, no, I gotta get this. We gotta get this. But I have an agenda. I have a thing we gotta do. And she's just like, what about me? And I'm like, yeah, but we have a plan. I gotta get there at the airport. I gotta drive the traffic. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just so stressed. I wanna make sure that this goes good. And she's looking at me like, I'm the reason we're. It's not fun for me doing things isn't what I want. I want your heart to be right. Who cares if your house isn't clean if your heart's right? Who cares if you don't make enough money if your heart's right? See, the thing we're trying to do first should be last. Your house will get clean when your heart's right and your family's right. Money will come when your heart's right and your family's right. That's why the Bible says seek first. It's not even about hurrying today. It's not even about your schedule. It's more about the way you do it. It's the peace you have. Is it really a failure if you missed the mark, but you did it the right way? The Lord can resurrect things that you're late getting to. So focus more on the content of who you are and your character than finishing every list you have. There are some list people in the room right now. Where are my list people at? Where are my people that go by Sister Ferris, praying for you? There's some list people. Y'all, if we didn't have this group across the front, nothing would ever get done. The rest of y'all in the back, y'all a bunch of party animals, you sleep in, you lazy suckers. The rest of us are up here worried about the world going to hell. I don't know how some of y'all do it. My wife could just sleep through it. Who cares? I'm like, how are you sleeping at a time like this? There's some list people right now. But listen, number one on your list, be a Christian. Number one, if you fail at everything else, don't fail at that. And you will win at everything. Let's love the Lord together. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, come on, shout to God. We're victorious. We're going to make it. We're going to get to the end. One day he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on into the rest. You did it. You made it. You did right. Oh, I just could keep going, but I got to stop. I love you guys. Please learn this quickly. We're hurting people. We're sabotaging the dream. God's got big plans for you and for me and for this entire church. And I'm just sorry we have been in the way of it coming to pass. And so I'm going to get out of the way. And I'm going to let God work. And I'm going to have the right attitude. And I'm telling you, we're going to start seeing results. You just watch, mark it down. You're going to start seeing some dreams, some old promises come to pass. It's going to happen. God is faithful. We struggle. He is faithful. Now, why don't you do something else? Whatever you do next, do it. Take advantage of this moment. Don't just walk out and go to lunch. If somebody beside you might need a hug or encouragement. Live in this moment, church. Look around. Live in the moment. Don't run out the door. That's why there's no dream being fulfilled. Joseph, you better network if you're going to make it. I'm telling you, some of y'all run out the door and you're mad, you have no friends and you're lonely and you have no help. Connect. Enjoy this moment. You're at church. Then go stuff your face. God bless you. Don't forget 3:00 service today at the HQ if you want to go.